the Gezira?
The question was asked, should one be realistic and truthful with a friend who was diagnosed with something that science does not have a cure for? So the person obviously feels like his clock is ticking. And should we help him imagine that this is not so? Should we be brutal and honest with him? What should be our approach to him? So I think that we definitely should be honest with him, and we definitely should not be brutal with him. So how does that work? Firstly, if that's the diagnosis, then we can't change the diagnosis. But we are taught, the Gemara tells us, the Medrash tells us, that Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, was diagnosed with a disease that no one in world history was ever cured from. And the prophet came in and told him, it's time to allocate your assets, give your final will, because you're dying. God said so. God sent a prophet to tell him it's over. So it's not only the disease that was irrevocable, it was a decree from God, a message from God saying, it's over. Go and give your last words to your family members because you're dying. So it doesn't get worse than that, does it? So what does the Talmud tell us? That Chizkiyahu said why? Meaning he asked, what sin have I done? I've done so many good things. What did I do wrong? To which the prophet, his relative Yeshaya, said, you haven't wed, you haven't brought children to the world. So Chizkiyahu said, I have an excuse. I thought that I could see in prophetic vision that I my children would be very sinful. And he was right. It was his son that caused the destruction of the temple. And the prophet Yeshaya said to him, that's not your business. You have your responsibility, and the rest is God's responsibility. To which Chizkiyahu said, okay, so let me make amends. Give me your daughter, his second cousin once removed, whatever that is, or however they're related, and maybe your merit, my merit, things will work out. To which Yeshaya said, hey, didn't I just tell you you're dying? God said it's over. What do you want to marry my daughter for? You're a dead man. So Chizkiyahu said, son of Amoz, Yeshaya was the son of Amoz. You have anything else to say? Finish off your prophecy and get out. Why? The tradition I have from our mutual great-grandfather is that even when a person has the sharp sword laying on his throat, he shouldn't give up from asking for mercy. So, this concept we learned from King David, who was tossed into the air by one of the giants, and he lay a sword down, and King David was coming down towards the sword, meaning for all intents and purposes it was over. And not only that, but God had asked him whether he should die this violent death or not, whether he prefers to suffer or leave his children to suffer, and he said, give it all to me, I don't want my children to suffer. So he had basically accepted the decree upon him, and he was seconds from death as he was swirling down towards the sword, and he lived, we all know. So King David taught this rule that even if a person has the sharp sword resting on his throat, he doesn't give up from praying. So yes, there is a decree, and yes, there is no known cure, but there is also always the capacity to pray and to hope. And that is part of our responsibility. When we say we should be honest with the person, so that's to say, number one, yes, this is the diagnosis, and now we have to deal with it as best as we can. We have to be responsible. If it is something contagious, we have to ensure we don't give it to someone else. If it is something that we can take care of and ensure to prolong our lives, we have to do that. If we have to take medication, we have to do that. If we have to get on a diet, we have to do that. If we have to take enrichments, we have to do that. If we have to do exercise, we have to do that. Meaning, very often the question of how long a person is going to live with a certain condition is contingent on how well he deals with it. Part of it is also a person's psyche. Bikur Cholim is about verifying what the ill needs. and you're supposed to bring a good smell with you, bring an air freshener, clean out the house, make it so the person's spirits are uplifted. We need to be honest, but not brutal, and hopeful, and help the person see that there is hope and there's a responsibility to do better. You see that Chizkiyahu wanted to make amends. He asked, what was my sin? And when he was told, he right away wanted to make amends. And then he did marry Yeshaya's daughter. And he did live about 2 decades. I've seen numerous people that were told by the doctors that they wouldn't live more than a few months, and they lived numerous years. People do outlive doctors' prognoses, and it's our responsibility to remain upbeat and hopeful and realize that at the end of the day, Hashem controls the world. I remember when Rav Pesach Zatzal was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and it didn't exactly fit the diagnosis, and for years the doctors were contending with the challenges that it didn't exactly fit the diagnosis. And then one day, one brilliant doctor came up with the idea that maybe it's Lyme disease and not Parkinson's. And suddenly the whole world shifted for us. Here we were, davening for him, doing our best, whatever we could, and a doctor walks in and says, you know, your symptoms fit Lyme disease. They don't really fit Parkinson's. So, in one moment, our whole vantage point shifted, and so on. We never know what lies around the corner. We never know what hope there really is. We know there's a Ribon Shalom that runs the world, and it's our responsibility to retain the knowledge of that as we do our best from our end. And part of doing our best is remaining upbeat. Of course, no one knows when their day is coming. I don't remember who it was. Sometime in the last half a decade, I spoke to a couple where one of them was diagnosed with something that the doctors really had no cure for. And they told the person they have half a year left to live. So I don't remember if it was the husband or the wife. I said, look, I have no right to tell you this, but nonetheless, I think it's true, so I'm going to tell you this. If you look around, people die in a moment's notice in car accidents. And I think one of the approaches we have to take, aside from davening and realizing that Hashem runs the world, is also to realize that Hashem gave you a gift. A person could view it as torture, or a person could view it as a gift. Some people don't have any time to prepare, and one second their family is left to contend without them, and other people are given a warning. They're being told they have X amount of time left. So people are struck by lightning, people are struck by cars, and some people are given that blessing, and I know it doesn't seem like a blessing to the person, but we have to see the positive in it as well, that they're given a chance. And if you look at the media, if you look at you look around you, you look at the signs, you know that there are plenty of people who don't have that warning. And here a person has a certain amount of time to arrange their life. So at the same time that we're being upbeat, at the same time that we're dominating, we also have to know that we don't know. The halacha says that when a person is on the verge of dying, so then people who are brave-hearted go in with the person and say vidui with them. What is vidui? That a person says, I confess before you, the Creator, that I've done things wrong and I regret them, and I recognize that you run the world, and I wish that my passing should be an atonement for everything I did wrong in my life. So, the halacha then says that we should encourage the ill person and tell him, many people have said this vidui and lived to tell the tale. The fact that you're saying this isn't an omen that you're going to die. It's just a responsible approach to the fact that you are ill. So say the vidui, and Bezrat Hashem, you will continue to live. So the halacha says we need that balance. On the one hand, we tell him, prepare. On the other hand, we tell him, be optimistic. It could still work out right.
Not vidui on the deathbed?
I'm talking about the deathbed. And even there we tell him. We tell him pious people used to say vidui every day before they went out to the streets, because who knows what's going to happen.
when you said that people had time to prepare, shouldn't also be our view when we get out of the house and say, I love you to everybody, and feel that people might not come back. Not, or it's too heavy for
I think
nowadays.
That's too melodramatic. I don't think that's necessary,
no,
you know.
Not with the thinking all the time that you're going to die, but knowing that you see a person and you have the respect and love for the person and affection, and you say that, you know, that's a constant in life, that, and you say, I love you, you know, whatever worries, but...
Chazal said we should live our lives with the recognition that we don't know what will be tomorrow. But obviously, if you take that to the extreme, then people could be very depressed.
Right.
So I think there's a balance in that.
I'm not saying that people should feel that in the heart, but that to knowledge that just to say bye with, you know, with real affection. But it depends on the way you see that and how you take it to the heart.
I'm scared that most people will do it the wrong way and end up living depressed lives. That's what I think. We should seize the day without depression, but with the recognition of the value of today, not the fear of tomorrow. And yes, we don't know what tomorrow will bring, and so therefore, we should give a tremendous value to today, to today's capacity to love, to give, to be a positive person.
It's also the Shema Lamita. It's also the whole idea of going to sleep with a clean heart. That to should forgive those who should forgive and remove all this stuff from our heart.
Yes, sir. Very nice. Okay.